Welcome back in. Happy Wednesday to you. Time for us to head on down to T-Town and check in with Rodney Orr. He's the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. Rodney, welcome in. How are you?
Doing well, Howard and Brett. How are you guys?
Hey, bud.
Man, we're doing all right. Next week, we'll probably be talking about what's ahead, but this week, let's talk about what's behind. And Rodney, obviously, Brett and I are sitting here looking at the game on the replay. To me, Nick Saban says, A, we won, and B, I got what I've been wanting out of this game, and that is a tight game on the road, down heading into the fourth quarter. Finally, the congregation is going to believe me when I preach to them, guys. It's tough out there to learn from this. Your thoughts, your takeaways from what Bama learned in the big date at State.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Harold. The things I'm hearing right now from over there are that, the players seem to be a little bit more focused. I think they're paying a little bit more attention to detail, and they understand just the things that you're talking about there. I mean, if you're not careful, somebody's going to beat you. And I think that was part of it. Of course, I think there's a lot of factors that went into that game. And first of all, Mississippi State's a really good team. Let's not forget that. They're much better than they were earlier in the season. They've matured and developed, I think, and they've got a really outstanding quarterback. They've got a very good defense, a very good defensive coordinator who's kind of orchestrated them on that side of the ball. So they're a really good team. So you certainly want to give them credit. I think they had a great plan. Dan Mullen trying to shorten the game. As you noticed, when they had the ball offensively, they drained the clock. And so they did some really nice things. But also, let's be honest. These injuries for Alabama, you saw the graphic if you watched the game, and they popped up the graphics with the pictures of Terrell Lewis, Mack Wilson, Christian Miller, Deion Hamilton. You don't lose those guys and not feel the effects. I mean, it's just not possible. I know Alabama fans kind of find it hard to believe sometimes. They think the next guy up in Crimson is going to be as good as the guy that just went down. But sometimes that's just not the way it is.
No.
And some of those guys weren't prepared. Some of them were inexperienced. And I think one thing I will say about this is I think Jeremy Pruitt did a nice job in the second half. I think he decided to simplify things and make some adjustments that would allow the guys to kind of play without having to think quite as much. And I think that made a big difference in the fourth quarter.
That's a good point, because these kids are young, and basically, in a nutshell, what it comes down to, as far as my common sense meter, is just let the guys play from instinct as opposed to having to think. Because when you think, sometimes that half step in the SEC, particularly as part of the schedule, those other guys are by you. But, Robbie, let me ask you this. Realistically, you know the question, and none of us know. I'm just asking you for your best gut feeling. You've been high on Lewis and some of these other guys from day one. Miller's not there. You've heard the same chatter that we have. Maybe, maybe not. They will be back. Of course, they will be back. The question is when. What are you hearing realistically relative to what's left on the schedule this season, Rodney?
I'm like you, Harold and Brett, and I certainly want to be cautious with what I say because I don't know.
Right.
But I will say this. There is some chatter that those guys may be back for Auburn, and there's even been some chatter that maybe they may get a few reps in this game. Not Wilson, but the other two, Lewis and Miller. I don't know that, okay? I want to be very clear to you and your listeners that I don't know that. But there is that chatter, and there's, again, the chatter is that maybe all three might be back for Auburn. We'll see. Again, the question is to me, okay, if they're back, where are they? In terms of percentage, are they anywhere close to where they were against Florida State? I mean, I don't know that. Maybe they will be. And if they are,
what you do know, Rodney, let me jump in. But Lewis, do people realize how big a factor he could be? That guy's a beast, is he not?
Amazing. I mean, again, it's just amazing they've gotten by, throughout the season without all of those guys or most of them. There's no doubt he's a difference maker. You saw that in the Florida State game. Miller's an outstanding pass rusher as well. It's been really tough, I think, defensively, having to kind of develop all these guys. But, hopefully those guys will be back.
Ron, I think something else that's going to help, and a lot of people look at week 11 in the SEC. Week 11 is WEAK. It's a weak schedule. There are a couple of conference games, but most of them are Auburn playing Law Monroe and Alabama playing Mercer. But I think the positive thing about playing Mercer is giving Dylan Moses, Keith Holcomb, maybe a Chris Allen, Mosley, et cetera, more reps, more of an opportunity in certain packages. you know, Mercer's not Auburn. We all know that. But I think the extra week's going to help leading into Auburn and for Alabama fans, hopefully, one more game in Atlanta.
Yeah, and I think, again, you're right. I mean, the hope is that you can maybe get some of those guys out of there very quickly. Fortunately, this is not a Georgia Southern. Now, you remember that game a few years ago.
Too well, yes.
I won't say what Nick Saban said about it, but anyway, it's a...
You probably couldn't.
Something
on
about a tin horn, Rondy.
On family radio, you probably couldn't.
Yeah. But, you know, the point is that if you can get those guys out quickly, it would not surprise me if Minkah Fitzpatrick plays a limited role, if at all, would not surprise me if he's held out as a precautionary measure. Some of the other guys possibly held out as precautionary measures. We'll see, or play very limited amounts. You know, get a lot of young guys experience. I think that's crucial, like you said, because some of those guys are playing in these games. Vandarius Cowan would be another guy to add on to your list.
Right.
And I think on the offensive side too, you know, you try to get Jalen Hurts in and out of there as quickly as possible. I mean, you'd hate for him to turn an ankle or something like that. You know, that could be something that would be really a difference in the game against Auburn. But, you know, so you want to get those guys off the field, get to it maybe in the game and, you know, get him some experience and what have you. And, then kind of move forward into that preparation for Auburn. Because listen, I mean, you guys know we're back to the good old days now. This one here is going to be like 2013. It's going to be like some of those other games in the past years where, you know, these are Alabama and Auburn. You know, you're talking about two top five, top six type teams right now. So it's going to be back to the old days.
Which begs the obvious question, Rodney. It's a fun question. It's the Wednesday before the game the following Saturday. But right now, Rodney, if you were putting down mama's money, where would you put it, Alabama and Auburn?
Well, let me say this if you've got about 20 seconds.
We've got 20 minutes. We've got all the time you need.
Harold, Brett, I would say this. You know, as I look at the game, and honestly, Auburn is playing well right now. They're playing as well as they've played all season. You know, we really aren't real sure where Alabama, they did not look great against Mississippi State, let's be honest, defensively.
Right.
I didn't think they looked really great against LSU for that matter, and haven't overall looked great for a month or so, in my opinion. But, you know, again, I'll say this. I think right now, if you had to put some money on it, we'd put a gun to your head, I would say you would have a hard time not favoring Auburn in this game. That's as of today. I mean, just looking at the way they played most recently, I think Georgia's overrated. I think, but I still think Auburn, you know, beat them up pretty well. They handled them pretty well. But here's what I will say. I think Alabama's a really, really good team. They get some of these injured players back. They can be a very good team again. And I think the problem Auburn might have is, you know, how are they going to deal with the hype over this 2 weeks?
Correct.
How are they going to handle the emotions?
Again, yeah.
Going back to the emotions, how are they going to handle that? And see, here's what I say. Alabama's going to go down there, and I think they'll be well prepared, and they'll be very businesslike. So they won't be dealing with all the emotions. I think that's one thing that's a disadvantage for Auburn right now. It can be an advantage, but it could also be a disadvantage, if you know what I mean. It all depends on how it's handled. So we'll see. You know, tough game to call, I think.
I agree. Rodney, let me ask you about the offensive line. At times this year, they have been dominant. At other times, they've been stalemated. And again, when you're going against Arden Key and Gilmore at LSU and Jeffrey Simmons at Mississippi State, they're going to push back too. Heisenhower seems to, of course, he stepped in at left guard for Pierce Baker. And not just this year, Rodney, but next year. And we've talked about the recruiting with you for a couple of years on the offensive line. Again, in the fourth quarter, 192-34, the total yards Alabama had over Mississippi State. When they ran the counter play and they pulled the guards, they seemed to do very well. Jedrick Wills, maybe Emil Ekior at center next year, or Scott Lashley, Dante Brown from Austin, Alex Leatherwood. We've talked a lot about these guys, and this will be solved during the spring, but the offensive line hasn't appeared to get the push this year at times as a classic Nick Saban offensive line has in the past. And Heisenhower, I thought, stepped in and played well. Your thoughts on the offensive line, present and future?
Well, first of all, they do have a lot of young players, and I think they have a chance to be an outstanding offensive line in the future. You mentioned a lot of those guys that were all pretty highly recruited, for sure. They're bringing in some more this year, and so I think there's a lot of really good players there, and they're developing them, and certainly I think that they're going to be good. As far as right now, I thought Hassenauer did do an excellent job when he was plugged in at left guard, you know, so in that situation. Now, Pierce Baker may be back for Auburn. I'm not sure. I'm kind of hearing that right now that it looks like he will be. Again, a final decision won't be made until next week, so we'll see. But also, you know, again, it's really hard to say as far as now. I think one of the issues, though, that they face that makes it really difficult, and the players have said it, Pierce Baker said it, Bo Scarborough said it, when you're talking about the running game, when they stack eight men in the box and challenge you to throw the ball successfully, then it makes it real difficult for them to block everybody. You know, and again, it's not, you're not trying to be critical of one particular player at all. Some people take it that way, but I think Jalen Hurts has made a lot of progress. He's standing in the pocket much better, I think. He feels more comfortable. He's delivered some throws. Those crossing routes have been really effective. So I think the more you can make plays in the passing game and you can make people respect you, that you're going to burn them. And if they're going to give it to you, guess what? You're not going to try to force the run. You'll take what they give you. And I think that's the key. If they can do that, Harold and Brett, and if they will do that, then, you know, this running game, it would be very difficult to stop. But yeah, I go back to what I said. You know, when they can stack guys up there and they don't feel like you can beat them throwing the ball consistently, then kind of makes it tough.
One final question. We know you run a very, to put it mildly, active board there at TiderInsider.com. All season long, there seems to have been a debate. Has the debate ended about Jalen Hurts versus Tua Tagovailoa down the stretch here?
Oh, well, yeah, I think certainly so. I mean, you know, again, that debate's among fans. I do think that, I do think Jalen's done an outstanding job of managing the offense. I think he's the leader of, you know, this offense right now. And, you know, you certainly would hate to go to Auburn without that guy. I can assure you that right now.
Especially
so,
in that environment.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yes. And you're right. And I'll say this too now with Tua Tagovailoa, there's no question that he's extremely gifted as a passer. You know, at some point he's going to have a role here at Alabama and he's going to be an outstanding player. But right now, this is Jalen Hurts' offense.
Let me ask you a recruiting question. Ohio State offered another quarterback over the weekend, Matt Baldwin, and also Jaron Williams decommitted from Kentucky on Sunday, and after official visit to Miami. I'm sure he got caught up in a lot of the Miami Notre Dame there, and it looks like Ohio State may even offer Tennessee quarterback Adrian Martinez. I say that to say this, Emory Jones, a current commitment to Ohio State, looks like certainly a potential flip to Alabama, and I know the flips are going to be Emil Echior's one, who flipped from Michigan to Alabama. Do you still feel that it's a matter of time before Emory Jones flips from Ohio State to Alabama?
Yeah, you know, I felt pretty good about the chances of that happening for a while. You know, again, this, you know how it is, Aaron Britton, this recruiting, it can change so quickly. Guys can look like you think they're going to flip, and then one thing changes and another, and then all of a sudden it's not what you thought it was going to be. So, but yeah, I think there still seems to be a very positive vibes that, you know, he may flip to Alabama. You know, again, we'll see what happens. A lot of stuff's going on, and, you know, one thing for sure, we've talked about this over and over again over the last several months about recruiting. We're still sitting on, what, about 12 commitments at Harold Brown, you know, for Alabama. They've been sitting on basically in that neighborhood for a while, and it's kind of falling like we expected it to. You know, you've got a lot of coaching changes out there starting to kind of crop up. Alabama's going to be evaluating a lot of those players. Now, remember, it was about last year this time that Alabama really made a move and got Dylan Moses, Chris Allen, Isaiah Buggs. Those guys seem locked for LSU. So you follow what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that can change here over the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
And we know that when it does, you get it all covered online there at TiderInsider.com. Rod, you guys do a great job. Thank you so much for your time today.
Harold Britt, appreciate it. Take care.
Hey, thank you, bud.
That's Rodney York again. It's called TiderInsider.com.